Now we're going to turn once again to Luke's Gospel chapter 15, back to the parable of the lost sheep, and bring some remarks upon it. We trust the Lord will bless them to our souls. Wait upon the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious truth, the Bible that we hold in our hands. We thank thee for the opportunity and the ability to read the Word of God. And we ask now as we come to consider it and to preach upon it, that thou would take the Word of God and write it upon our hearts, and that we in turn might know what is good and acceptable and perfect, the blessed will of God. Speak to us, we pray, through the Scriptures, and lead us even into that saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his lovely name we ask these things. Amen. Luke's Gospel chapter 15 has been often called God's lost and found department, because in the 32 verses of the chapter, the Lord Jesus uses some illustrations, some parables, describing things that were lost and God's desire to see them saved and restored into fellowship with himself. In verses 3 through to 7, we've got the illustration of the lost sheep. Verses 8 to 10, the illustration of the lost coin. And then in verses 11 to 24, that of the lost son. And the backdrop, the context to each of those parables, is found in verses 1 and 2. Where there we are told that then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And we're told that the Lord Jesus is seen to be reaching out to those that are considered to be the outcasts of society. The publicans and the sinners are coming to hear him preach. The publicans were the tax collectors. These were the men that worked for the Roman government. They were despised and hated by the ordinary Jew because they were friendly with their enemies. They placed upon the people a harsh and unfair tax burdens, and they were despised by society. The sinners, on the other hand, and verse 1, was a term that was used to describe those that were not faithful in keeping the Mosaic law, and they were looked down upon by the Pharisees and the scribes of verse 2. They were the religious people of the day. And it was to these poor people, the publicans and the sinners, those that nobody cared about, that the Lord Jesus came to preach to and to teach. He came to reach out to them. In fact, our Savior stated on more than one occasion that the very reason for his coming into this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. Yet when these people gathered to hear the Lord Jesus, to hear his teaching, the religious establishment, the Pharisees and the scribes, they went crazy. They began to criticize the Lord Jesus for receiving sinners. That little word receiving means that he allowed access to himself. The very people that the religious world thought that he should have been reaching out to were the ones that he shunned. And the ones that they had turned their back upon was the ones that the Lord Jesus came to save. And he received them. He allowed them access to himself. The Lord Jesus, knowing the hard hearts of these religious people, told them these three parables to teach them the value of every lost soul. In fact, we'll see in the final of the three parables that he warns them that they may not be as secure as they thought themselves to be. And we'll come to that in due course. But we want to take the next few Sunday afternoons and to look into this chapter, God's lost and found department. We're going to look at the first of the parables. We're told of the shepherd that's counting his sheep, and he expects to find 100 sheep in his flock, and he is dismayed to discover that one of his sheep is missing. And motivated by the danger to the sheep and the loss to himself, he undertakes action to go and find this lost sheep, to lay hands upon it, to bring it back and restore it to its proper place. And we have a very vivid account of the searching and of the saving of the lost sheep. Now, why a sheep? Well, right from the very book of Genesis through to Revelation, dozens of times the Bible uses the term sheep to refer to people. We are described as the Lord's sheep. We sang from the 23rd Psalm already, which speaks about the Lord our shepherd. And of course, if the Lord is our shepherd, then we must be his sheep. I think of words in Isaiah 53 in verse 6, where it says that all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. So we are like sheep. In John 10, the Lord Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. And on many occasions, the term sheep is used to refer to the Lord's people. Now, there's something that we need to understand about sheep. They are essentially a dumb animal. In other words, they're not the smartest animals in the world, and they find themselves constantly in trouble, in terrible situation. They find themselves without the skill and understanding to know what is actually best for themselves. They literally just follow their nose. If they see something that looks appealing, they'll just go without thought or consideration and follow after. And we are just the same way. We find ourselves in terrible situations, separated from God, just as foolish as these sheep. In fact, the Lord tells us in Jeremiah 5 and verse 4, he says, "Surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God." Those that are separated from God are like the foolish sheep, following our noses. The Bible tells us that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Seems right and good and proper to us, but it brings us into danger and destruction. And like sheep, we are foolish. We are dumb. Like sheep, we are directionless. You know, if a sheep wanders off from the rest of the flock, it will have a hard time, if not an impossible time, finding its way back again. They have no sense of direction. And so it is with those that are outside of Christ. There is no spiritual direction to their lives. And even if they wanted to return to the flock of God, they don't know how to or where to go in order to do that. They cannot find the Lord by themselves. They are without direction. Another thing about sheep worthy of notice is that they are defenseless. Out in the wilderness where the shepherd would have had his flocks, well, the lions had teeth, and the bears had claws, and the snakes had fangs, even the fowls of the air had some type of defense mechanism, but not the sheep. They have no means of protecting themselves from danger. If they are attacked, they cannot help themselves. They are helpless. You know, you and I are helpless in the spiritual realm. We have an adversary, the devil, that, like the roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. and we have no defense mechanism against them. We are defenseless. So sheep, by their very nature, need a shepherd. They need a shepherd. And I suppose that's another one of the reasons why sheep is used as an illustration of our need of a Savior. We are like sheep needing a shepherd. And so it becomes very clear as the picture develops that the Lord Jesus, instead of referring to sheep and the shepherd, is actually referring to the relationship between himself and his people. And we find here a shepherd going out looking for and seeking a sheep that is lost. And he's going to do all that is in his power to find that lost sheep and to recover it from danger and to bring it back to his fold with rejoicing. Now, let's have a look at this passage. Let me see firstly the shepherd's sorrow. He has a lost sheep. What's interesting when we read of this lost sheep is to see how this word lost is translated elsewhere in the Word of God. And if I were to turn you to John's Gospel chapter 3 and the verse 16, we find the same word in this very well-known verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And the word perish there in John 3:16 is the same word that's translated lost in reference to the sheep. It is ruined. This lost sheep will be destroyed. It is in great danger. It's headed for destruction. And the shepherd knows this, and he is concerned over the condition of the sheep. He's moved to do something about it. This sheep is lost. It's on its way to death and to destruction. Of course, this sheep has wandered away because of its own fault. It's just, he's no one to blame for being lost but himself. The Lord knows the lost condition of humanity. He knows the lost state of our heart. He knows that we are lost because of the sin of Adam, but we're also lost because of our own sin. That we have chosen to be separated from God. We have chosen not to walk in his ways. We have chosen to do just whatever pleases us. And we have wandered astray like the sheep away from God. And we are perishing. And if we continue in that lost estate, we will perish for all eternity. And the shepherd, knowing the lost nature of the sheep, is concerned about it. Because this lost sheep is a loved sheep. Now, it may have wandered away from the shepherd, but it's still precious to them. There is value in that sheep, and the shepherd longed for its return. He cared about the lost sheep. He had paid a personal price to own it, and he wasn't going just to sit back and wait, hoping that it might return on its own. The sheep, to our eyes, may have appeared no different than any of the others, but it was special to him. It was a prized possession. You know, to the shepherd, there are no big sheep and little sheep, no important sheep and unimportant sheep. They were all precious in his eyes. He loves his sheep equally. You and I perhaps will never fully understand the value of the human soul. The scriptures tell us that if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, that he's made a bad transaction. There is infinite value in the souls of men, and we are precious to the Lord. so precious in fact, that he willingly gave up his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to death upon the cross. This lost sheep is a loved sheep. And it's a lone sheep. It's on its own. It's without help. Though it's only one out of 100 that's missing, yet the shepherd has his heart fixed upon it. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the very solemn fact that if I were the only sinner, if I were the only one that had sinned before God, it would still require the death of the Savior to redeem me and bring me back. So we see something of the shepherd's sorrow over the lost sheep. Then we see his search. He begins to search for the sheep. If he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Why does he search for this lost sheep? Is it to punish it? Or is it to rescue it in love? He's not going to punish it for going astray. His motive in searching for the sheep is to restore it to its proper place in his fold. Why does the Lord come to seek and save we who are lost? It's that we too might be restored to our right relationship with God, to deliver us from punishment, not to inflict more punishment upon us. So he initiates a search, knowing that the sheep is powerless to get back to the fold itself, knowing that he cannot afford to sit and wait for it to return on its own accord. He goes out looking for the sheep. It's the shepherd that initiates the search. And my friend, when it comes to getting right with God, it's not us that's seeking after God, it's God that seeks after us. The Bible describes us as dead in our trespasses and sin. We cannot move ourselves closer to God. In fact, we can never be saved unless the Lord first makes an approach to us. The Bible tells us that we love him because he first loved us. He came looking for us, not the other way around. I remember a time one of the children were small and we were in a huge department store and, well, they'd run off somewhere and we'd lost them. And there was a frantic 10 minutes as we went up and down aisles and looked under all kinds of things to see if we could find them. Until eventually we spotted a little head walking, going past, and there they are, and we made a beeline for them. Ran and grabbed them, lifted them up in my arms, and nobody said, "Daddy, I found you." Of course, he hadn't found me, but I had found him. And when we speak about finding the Lord, what we really mean is that he sought and found me. He searched for me. So he initiates the search, and we can see it intensify. He doesn't give up after a few minutes or a few hours of searching. He goes out into the wilderness to go after that which is lost, and he continues searching until he finds it. He's going to stay on the job until that lost sheep has been recovered. The lost sheep being us, the Lord Jesus did not stop his search halfway. His search for the lost sheep did not end until he was hanging on the cross and able to say, "It is finished. It's over. It's complete." The lost sheep have been found. Well, I'm glad the Lord didn't give up on me. He kept seeking me until he found me. So we see the shepherd's sorrow over the lost sheep. We see his search to restore it. We see his success. He finds it. He finds the sheep. And as he finds the sheep, he reaches out to it, and we perhaps have the picture of the sheep. Maybe it's caught in the thicket. It's unable to get out of the mess it's in, or it finds itself in the miry clay, the fearful pit, and it needs the shepherd to reach down and lift it to safety. He doesn't leave the sheep languishing in danger. He finds it. He lays his hands upon it. Perhaps it's distressed and anxious, and he calms it. Then he lifts it. He lifts the lost sheep. We're told that when he found it, he laid it on his shoulders. And we have the picture there from taking the front forelegs in one hand and the rear legs in the other and placing it around his shoulders. And he carries it. Praise God, he doesn't leave us where he finds us. He doesn't leave us languishing in sin, condemned. He comes to us in grace and mercy, and he brings hope and forgiveness. He gives a new beginning to those that put their trust in him. He lifts the sheep. He places it upon his shoulders. He takes it out of the danger. Is that not what the good shepherd does for those that he finds wandering in the dark hills of sin? He comes alongside. He reaches out. He lifts us from sin and danger. And he carries us upon his shoulders. He delivers us from all danger. Paul said to the church at Rome that we are saved from wrath through him. And having lifted us from danger, he carries us home. Now the Bible tells us that the shepherd carried the sheep. Carried it right back to the fold and placed it in safety. The sheep is not required to get back to the fold in its own power. He's carried by the shepherd. You know, there's a wonderful picture of our salvation. Some people think that they have to get to heaven by themselves. They have to get there through their own efforts. They have to walk on their own two feet. The Lord Jesus says that he comes and he carries us to heaven. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We don't attain it by ourselves. Salvation is not for those that merit heaven or deserve it, who are bought and paid for it with their money or with their good works. The Lord Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. We don't go to heaven by our own power. The shepherd has lifted us and will carry us. We see his sorrow over the lost sheep. We see his search until he finds it. We see his success in that he lifts it up out of danger and carries it home. And we see his satisfaction. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. There is rejoicing. He called his neighbors and his friends together, and they rejoice with the shepherd that the sheep that was lost has been restored. In verse 7 we're told that there is likewise joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. There is rejoicing in heaven when the lost sheep is restored, when the lost soul has been saved, when the wanderer from God has been brought back home. It's something to be excited about, the redemption of our souls. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10, verse 29, that they were to rejoice because their names were written in heaven. Why is he rejoicing? Because the sheep has been saved. Saved from disuse. As long as it was lost, it was of no benefit to the shepherd. It's been saved from danger. Unless he intervened, that sheep would have remained in danger, unable to defend itself, unable to rescue itself. It would have been a prey to the wolf and to the lion and to the bear. And as long as we are separated from God, wandering like the sheep away from God, we are in danger. Hell and judgment lies before us. We need to be delivered, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can save us from the penalty of sin. It has been saved from danger, saved from death. The sheep most certainly would have died out there in the wilderness, but now it lives. And it lives because a shepherd came seeking it and saving it. If we remain in the condition in which we were born, we will be lost forever. We are born with a sinful nature. We are born sinners. Our whole life bears testimony to that fact. We have not kept the law of God. We have broken the law of God. We have sought to get as far away from God as we possibly can. And the Bible warns us that the wages of sin is death. The only thing that we get for all of our sinfulness, what we truly earn for our wickedness, is death. And without the intervention of God, there is no hope for us. Unless the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, seeks for us, finds us, lifts us, carries us to heaven, then we have no hope. There's no hope. And we need to understand very clearly that there is only one means of salvation. And that is through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he paid the penalty of our sin, satisfied the wrath of God for our account, and he brings us to heaven. Any other religion, any other method, any other system, no matter how good, is doomed to fail. There is one name given to men whereby we must be saved, and it's that of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Good Shepherd. Can I ask you, just in closing this evening, are you in the fold of God? Are you saved and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you find yourself this afternoon like the lost sheep, wandering about in the wilderness of sin, in constant danger, with only the prospect of death and damnation lying before you? You've never trusted in the Savior. You're the lost sheep. But you've heard today of a loving shepherd that has come to seek the lost sheep. And he's seeking for you. And he will see you. Salvation really is a very simple matter. It's trusting that the Lord Jesus will do exactly what he said he will do. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you come to him, he will save you. We are lost because we refuse to come. We turn away from the Good Shepherd. I urge you this evening, if you hear the voice of the Shepherd, not to run away, not to continue on in sin, not to refuse and to reject. The Lord Jesus said that as the Good Shepherd that his sheep hear his voice and follow him. I would give you that advice this afternoon. If you hear the Lord calling you, that you follow him and know that he will lift you and save you and carry you to the heaven of God with rejoicing. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this wonderful passage in the scriptures, telling us of the lost sheep that are loved by the shepherd, so much so that he was willing to go and seek and save that which is lost. We recognize that because of our sin, that we are separated from God, that our sin is a barrier that means that we can never enter into the presence of the Almighty, that heaven is closed to us because of our iniquity. How glad we are that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to seek and to save us. For we could never save ourselves. We could never get ourselves into the heaven of God. But we thank thee that he has come to lift us and to carry us there. We lay our weight upon him. We trust him with all of our heart. There is no other means of salvation available to us but trusting in the Son of God. Give that needed faith, we pray. May each and every one, within sound of our voice, be able to say that we are sheep of the Good Shepherd. Lord, bless thy word to every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.